Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
What do you do when there's turmoil in your heart? You're worried about something, stressed out, anxiety's raging inside you. How do you go from that? How do you go from that kind of internal chaos to lasting peace and rest? One way is to change the object of your focus.
And it seems to me that there are at least three kinds of worriers that will be helped by this passage. Some worriers are just aggressive pessimists. You know, they are just looking for something to worry about. They just scan the future all day long, trying to find something that could possibly go wrong. The next group is what I would call the distracted worrier. They're just fine most of the time, while they're thinking about God, sitting right here, just fine. No problems at all. You can see God sitting right there on his throne. The problem is, when stress hits during the week, they just somehow forget to think about God on his throne. And that's a distracted worrier. And then the third group is the group that Jesus refers to in verse 30 as those of little faith. They just have a hard time believing the promises and trusting him to supply all their needs. Jesus gives these promises and it just doesn't seem to them like those promises are going to pan out. They have a hard time believing. Jesus gives us principles to overcome all three of those kinds of worrying in this text. We introduced all of this last week by looking at verses 25 and 26. In verse 25, we saw that your soul and body, this is Jesus' first principle he gives us, your soul and body are greater than food and clothes. And God gave you your soul and body, and so the greater gift implies the lesser gift. Obviously, he's not going to give you something as wonderful as a soul and body and then forget to give you the little minor thing to keep the soul and body going. So that's his first point. Second principle came from bird watching. Jesus told us to look at the birds of the sky and consider the fact that God feeds them every day. Feeds all of them every day. And for us to consider how much more valuable we are to God than the birds. And that's a wonderful comfort. That first one goes from the greater to the lesser. This argument goes from the lesser to the greater. Birds are almost completely worthless and meaningless. And you are infinitely more precious to God, proved by the fact that he paid an infinite price to purchase you. So obviously, he's going to take care of you if he takes care of the birds. And that's as far as we made it last week. And the reason we only made it that far is because I didn't want to just tell you that, like I just now did. It only took me a couple minutes just now. It took me an hour last week. I didn't want to just say it because if I just tell you God is trustworthy, God is loving, God is powerful, that in itself isn't enough to help you believe. What I wanted to do last week is to try to help you feel his trustworthiness and his great love and his awesome power. Because it's when we feel those things that we really are able to trust. And to really feel them, to get so you believe them, not just in your head, but just deep down inside you really are convinced, that takes some time. It takes some meditation. It takes some extended time of consideration of that principle for it to really sink in, and consideration of what God is like. Which is what Jesus calls us to exactly. The word in verse 26 when he says, look at the birds, that's what that word means. To look at, not a passing glance, an intensive gaze for the purpose of learning is what that word means. And so that's what we tried to do last week. Just gaze intently on God's nature and his character and what he's like as revealed in the way he deals with the birds. The most important solution to anxiety is that intensive gaze upon God. It's really not bird watching. It's God watching. Right? Seeing how God deals with the birds. If you're worried, generally that's an indication that you've taken your gaze off of God. And you're like Peter walking on the water, who as soon as he turned his gaze away from Jesus and looked at the wind and the waves, he sank. He developed an extreme anxiety disorder. Right? And he was afraid. And he sank. And then he looked back to Jesus again and he was saved. Anxiety and worry are indicators that your gaze has turned from Christ to the circumstances themselves. But Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." You get your gaze steadfastly fixed on Christ, and the result will be anxiety driven out of your life and replaced with perfect peace.
I have two questions for you today. First, which of the three kinds of worry that I mentioned gives you the most trouble? Aggressive pessimism? Just looking for things to go wrong? Distraction? Failing to remember what you know about God in times of stress? Or little faith? It's just hard for you to trust that God's promises are really going to be true in your case. As we continue the study, it'll be helpful for you to understand which of those are an issue in your life. Second, where is your gaze? Are you like Peter in the storm? Do you feel it impossible to tear your gaze away from the wind and the waves? If so, why do you think that is? What is it about the wind and the waves in your life that pull all your attention like a black hole? Of course, we need to give some attention to our problems. Some problems are complex and require a lot of thought to figure out what to do. But once you've done that, and you know that further thought isn't going to help anything because matters are out of your hand, why is it that our minds insist on continuing to obsess over it? Search your heart and see if you can figure out the reason. Is it because all your faith is in yourself so that you mainly look to yourself for solutions? Or is it because of self-pity? You just want to wallow in rehearsing how hard you have it? Or is there some other reason? Give it some thought.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.